Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 23, Maharaj Peter's Going Back Home, Text 22. Vidhaya Prityam Radhane Janapluta Datvodakam Bartur Udara Parmana Natva Divi Stams Tridashams Tri Paritya Divesha Vanim Dhyayati Bartri Pada Vidhaya Krityam Radhani Jalapluta Dadvodakam Bartur Udara Karmana Natva Divistam Stri Dasham Stri Paritya Vivesha Vanim Dhyayati Bharchi Pada Vidhaya Krityam Radhani Jalapluta Tatvodakam Bhartur Udara Karmana Natva Divistam Stri Dasham Stri Paritya Vivesha Vanim Dhyayati Bartri Pada Vidhaya Krityam Radhani Jalapluta Tatvodakam Bhartur Udara Karmana Natva Divistam Stri Dasham Stri Paritya Vivesha Vanim Dhyayati Bartri Pada executing krityam, the regulative function, pradini, in the water of the river, jala aputa, taking bath completely, datva udakam, offering oblations of water, Bharato, of her husband, Udara Karamana, who was so liberal, Natva, offering obeisances, Divistan, situated in the sky, Tridashan, the 30 million demigods, Tree, three times, Paritya, circumambulating, Vivesha, entered, Vanim, the fire, Dhyayati, while thinking of, Bhartri, of her husband, Pada, the two lotus feet. Translation. After this, the queen executed the necessary funerary functions and offered oblations of water. After bathing in the river, she offered obeisances to various demigods situated in the sky in the different planetary systems. She then circumambulated the fire and, while thinking of the lotus feet of her husband, entered its flames. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The entrance of a chaste wife into the flames of the pyre of her dead husband is known as saha gamana, which means dying with the husband. This system of sahagamana had been practiced in Vedic civilization from time immemorial. Even after the British period in India, this practice was rigidly observed. But soon it degraded to the point that even when the wife was not strong enough to enter the fire of her dead husband, the relatives would force her to enter. Thus, this practice had to be stopped. But even today, there are still some solitary cases where a wife will voluntarily enter the fire and die with her husband. Even after 1940, we personally knew of a chaste wife who died in this way. Vidhaya krityam hradini jalaputa dat bodhakam bharatur udara karmana nat va divistams tridashams triparitya viveshavanim jayati bharatri padam. After this, the queen executed the necessary funerary functions and offered oblations of water. After bathing in the river, she offered obeisances to various demigods situated in the sky in the different planetary systems. She then circumambulated the fire and, while thinking of the lotus feet of her husband, entered its flames. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachayane Nera Vishesha Shunyavari Pasya Chayade Shukhane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Lakshkalpatrubhyascha kripa sindhubhyevacha Adidanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So this is Queen Archie on the departure of her most exalted husband, Shaktyavesh avatar husband, Maharaj Preetam. Actually, the next verse, I just noticed, it doesn't have a purport. But let me just read it. After observing this brave act performed by the chaste wife, Archie, the wife of the great King Preetam, many thousands of the wives of the demigods, along with their husbands, offered prayers to the queen, for they were very much satisfied. So certainly a very brave act. Some years ago, maybe 15 years ago or so, 20 perhaps even, we met one gentleman on a train here in India, traveling from Jaipur to Delhi, and I still remember quite vividly. He was an older man, business type person, and we were talking about things, and somehow the subject came up, and he very noticeably, very proudly told me that his mother was a sati, which this is another term which is used here in the purport. Srila Prabhupada uses the term sahagamana, dying with the husband, or literally going with him. Saha Gamana, going with him. So, this gentleman, he was obviously, he made a point of telling us this. His mother was a sati. It is a very brave act. Certainly, I'm sure some of us here, perhaps some of the ladies, having heard the verse in purport, this idea might have occurred to you, what about me? Oh, it may be a little amusing in one sense, but it's not really. It's a very serious thing. It's such a serious thing. This brave act of the chaste wife. And then the wives of the demigods, and there were so many watching, 33 million or so, means basically all the demigods are watching, because this is Maharaj Preetu, who has just departed. He's not any sort of ordinary person, not just any sort of ordinary big king, but he is an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they're all watching. And then his very exalted wife, Archie, enters the fire, sahagamana, going with him. And so they didn't offer prayers for her, they offered prayers to her. Because this is something very extraordinary. So, in Vedic culture, in Krishna conscious culture, everyone, there are different expectations of different people in different situations in life, male, female, varnas, ashrams. There are different expectations or different duties which are highly beneficial. Shri Shri Radha Madhava Shri Asta Sati Brinda Shri Panchatastra Shri Nishinadeva Bhagavan Ki Jai. They're highly beneficial. If one does those duties nicely, one goes back to Godhead. In this case here, Archi, the idea is sahagamana, to go with him. And for grihastha ladies, according to the Vedic culture, and as Srila Prabhupada says clearly in the purport, this is really like standard type of thing. Now, of course, now is Kali Yuga. It's one thing if your husband is Maharaj Prithu or someone like Maharaj Prithu. It's another thing being in Kali Yuga and the husband, he may be just some relatively ordinary type of person or devotee facing his struggles in trying to be a devotee and make some progress, and the wife has her own problems, and this is Kali Yuga. And to find that husband who is so inspiring and just commands so much respect and commands in a very natural way so much dedication and love, genuine affection, and that genuine type of dedication and very deep faithfulness. Well, in Kali Yuga, those husbands are rare, at least it appears. Such husbands are rare. And such wives, like Archi, or you could say your typical Krishna conscious Vedic wife, Dharmapatni, such personalities are also rare. So therefore, as Prabhupada also says in the purport, to find ladies who can do it, not just, I remember, in the Abhay Charan DVD series, there was such an incident portrayed. Somebody husband died, there was the funeral, they wanted to throw the wife in the fire, she didn't want to go, and someone came and saved her life, I think. I forget the details, but was it Bhaktivinoda Thakur? Okay. So, yes, Srila Prabhupada elsewhere looks into the subject little more deeply, perhaps, or slightly different perspective. Srila Prabhupada says that for the faithful, chaste, Krishna-conscious Vedic wife who has the faithful and dedicated and highly qualified Krishna-conscious Vedic husband, for her to lose the association of such a husband in her later years, in old age, to lose that association, Srila Prabhupada says, that to continue on, for her to continue on living, would be worse than dying. The separation for such a lady from such a husband, the separation would be worse than dying. Actually, there is a short story by Srila Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur of Krishna Leela, and it is, you could say, kind of light-hearted, but in it, the idea is the snake of Lord Shiva comes to bite and kill Radharani, the daughter-in-law of Jatila, and Abhimanyu, Radharani's husband and the son of Jatila, and the snake, who's actually Krishna, talking through the door to Jatila, tells her this, that I want to cause you pain, therefore I'm going to bite your daughter, I'm going to kill your daughter-in-law and son. And Jatila says, well, you want to cause me pain, why don't you just bite me and kill me? And the snake says, no, no, no. If I kill them, you will suffer much more for the rest of your life. Another 20, 30 years, whatever. You'll suffer much more than if I bite you right now and you just die. It's just a matter of a few minutes, perhaps, or something like that. So if I want to cause you pain because you have been blaspheming Krishna, who is the Lord of my Lord, Shiva. So therefore, to cause you the maximum pain, I'm going to kill your daughter-in-law and your son. So in this type of context, of course, as we said, that is presented in a somewhat light-hearted context. But this is very serious context for such a quality lady, Dharmapatni, to lose after many years of constant close association, to lose the company of her highly qualified husband, Dharmapati. It would be worse than death. So it would not be some sort of torture or some sort of show of strength or character, something like that. It would just be a relief for her to enter the funeral fire and sahagamana, to go with him. And the idea, at least in so many cases, is be born together again in the next lifetimes and be married again and together again and like that. I remember once, also quite some number of years ago, we went on parikrama to a place in Vraj Mandala called Unchagaon, the place of Lalita Devi, and we met one young girl there. She's like early teens at the most. And somehow or other, she's one local sort of cowherd girl. She invited us to her house. So we went to her house and her mother was there. Her mother gave us some charge, buttermilk. So we sat and had our buttermilk. And then the lady of the mother told us, pointed to her daughter, and told us in sort of Hindi Brajbasya, she's a very good girl. She will be a sati. And this girl looked at her mother like shocked. Speak for yourself if you want to. So it is Kali Yuga. What can we say? It is Kali Yuga. And just to demand these things, just to expect these things, well, the times, they have changed. But it is a fact that, at least traditionally in the Vedic context and in general, for women, like we said, there are different duties, expectations, different standards for different people. In Vedic society, in terms of varnashram, in terms of male, female, and so on. But certainly it is a fact that traditionally, according to Vedic standards, for women, this particular qualification of faithfulness and chastity is really highly regarded, and it is a really foundational quality for a lady. as Kshatriyas must be bold and charitable and fearless, and Brahmins must be knowledgeable and clean, and so on and so forth. So women, one of those just basic features of character, which is like a natural and valuable, practically invaluable ornament of character for ladies, is faithfulness. So therefore, traditionally, for ladies to be faithful wives to their qualified husbands, and very faithful and very attentive mothers to their children, these are very important things. Nowadays, of course, well, as we've said, it is Kali Yuga, as we all know, and life is different. Even in my own childhood, my mother never worked. And many of the mothers of my close friends, school friends, they never worked. Nowadays, of course, in one sense, it is all part of the conspiracy of the wealthy people to how to get more money out of people. The people must have more money. Otherwise, how can you get more money out of them? So therefore, everybody must work, including the women. This is, you know, behind the scenes, I would say it's probably a conscious conspiracy, actually. Certainly it's working in that way. So nowadays, even I remember being present in my sort of mid-teens, perhaps, and with my mother, and in some situation she was asked, "What is your occupation?" And she said, "Housewife." Yeah. And you know, she was a relatively intelligent woman. She had a master's degree, and but she said, "Housewife." Straight answer to a straight question. Nowadays, in so many, many cases, the great, great majority of the ladies are asked, you know, "What's your occupation?" She'll say, you know, whatever, some sort of doctor, lawyer, engineer, business person, administration, something, something, something. "And are you married?" "Yes." So that comes second. Of course, for men, when they're asked, "What do you do?" they don't say first, "Well, I'm a husband and a father." They give their occupation. I read something a little while ago that some lady, it was actually not a joke, although it sounds a little like a joke, it was quite serious. Some lady, more traditionally minded perhaps, in America, she presented some report on the internet. She had to go to some government department to fill out some forms for some reason. So the clerk interviewed her. "What's your name?" "Okay." "What's your date of birth?" "Okay." "What's your address?" "Okay." "What's your occupation?" "Housewife." "Wife and mother." And the clerk looked at her. Silence. "What do you do?" "I'm a mother. I'm a wife and a mother." And the clerk said, no. "But what I mean is, what's your occupation? What's your job?" At that point, she got frustrated and left. This woman had written this report. But then she had to do whatever it was, fill out those forms. So she went back later and met some other clerk, and same process. "What's your name?" "Okay." "Date of birth?" "Okay." "Address?" Okay. What's your occupation? Child development technologist. Oh, okay. It's Kali Yuga. It's Kali Yuga, and that just comes out in so many ways. But that faithfulness of the wife and mother to not think, of course it depends on the nature of the woman, of the person. It depends on their nature, and some may get involved in this or that, and but still, at least, you could say as a type of bottom line, if a woman has really given herself to being a wife and a mother in Krishna consciousness, doesn't mean she's automatically a second-class citizen. And it's just a sort of like a default position you fall back to if you can't do anything better. It's not like that at all. It's to actually be a successful wife and mother and look after your husband and care for him and protect him successfully, that's valuable. And what to speak of, bring up the children so they become real devotees and young men and women of quality. That's a major contribution to society. And not just like, you know, something second class. So it is Kali Yuga. We read in the ninth canto that Lord Ram was such a husband to Sita. She was just sold out to him. Just sold out. She just humbly served him whatever he wanted. And she was such a wife that Lord Ram, whatever she wanted, he would do anything for her. And it wasn't just, you know, as they say sometimes, the battle of the sexes. The man feels he should be the head of the family, but the wife has other ideas. And, you know, she just sort of badges him endlessly to get what she wants. You know, these Kali Yuga techniques just keep on asking again and again and again until the person snaps and just gives up. All right, you can have it. Just give me a break. But Lord Ram, he would facilitate Sita. And Srila Prabhupada makes the point in one of the purports there that Lord Ram was such a dedicated husband that even though he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and when Sita was kidnapped, he could have done a number of things. He's God. He could have stopped it. He could have stopped it. Of course he could have. He could have just wiped out Ravana on the spot by remote control. Is absolutely no problem whatsoever. And just rescued Sita by remote control. It is just the least of problems for the Supreme Lord. But actually Lord Ram went through this whole exercise, and it was very painful, and millions of people died just to rescue Sita. He didn't even want to like take over Lanka and become the king or anything and take all the money. He just wanted Sita. That's as simple as that. But to show, Prabhupada makes a point, to show how faithful a husband he was in Krishna consciousness or Ram consciousness, he went through this whole endeavor to rescue her and kill Ravana. He could have, Matt Prabhupada says, he could have just manifested hundreds or millions of replacement sitas on the spot. But he didn't. He made the effort to rescue Sita, to show that when a person is a Krishna conscious Grihastha man, and he has a truly faithful Krishna conscious wife, that's an important duty. So, for the lady to be faithful, for ladies in general to be faithful and not become distracted, being faithful in this context means you don't get distracted by, first of all, other men, and then by anything else, actually, that even if your husband is poor, you live like that and serve nicely like that. This sort of faithfulness is very important quality in ladies. Today, as we heard earlier, today is the appearance day of Srila Narottam Das Thakur. He was also extremely faithful. Of course, in many ways, but one particular incident comes to mind, that Narottam Das Thakur, he appeared in Khaituri, which I believe is in current day Bangladesh, is that correct? Yeah. So, anyway, eventually in his late youth or so, he went to Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, he met Srila Jiva Goswami and took shelter of him. And then he met Srila Lokanath Goswami. And when he met Lokanath Goswami, Narottam Das Thakur, he was very deeply struck by the character of Lokanath Goswami and his standards as a devotee and just who he was as a devotee. So Narottam Das Thakur, in his heart, he made up his mind, I'm going to accept Srila Lokanath Goswami as my spiritual master. So then he approached him. However, Lokanath Goswami had taken a vow, even in like a formal sense, he had determined, resolved, I'm not accepting disciples. End of story. I'm simply going to focus on my own Krishna consciousness. So Narottam Das Thakur approached Lokanath Goswami and appealed to him, please accept me as your disciple and initiate me. Lokanath Goswami laughed and refused and just made very little of it. Like, I'm not even going to think about it. I couldn't even think about it, so just go find someone else. However, Narottam Das Thakur, his character was like that. He had made up his mind. He had already given his heart internally. And he was not just about to just go and choose another one. So he resolved that despite this, I am going to live as a disciple lives in terms of my own lifestyle, my program, what I do. So what he did, Lokanath Goswami was living in the area where his samadhi and Bhajan Kutir is at the Radha Gokulananda temple, not far from the Yamuna, on the sort of eastern end of Vrindavan town, more or less. So Lokanath Goswami was living there, and every day he would get up, go down to the Yamuna, take bath, and evacuate, etc., take bath and then come back and continue with his day's activities. Narada Das Thakur, he would wait somewhere nearby secretly watching, and when Lokanath Goswami had gotten up, you know, early in the morning and gone down to the Yamuna, Narada Das Thakur, he would come out and clean up around the little sort of little ashram type place of Lokanath Goswami, make up the bedding and clean up and so on, and then go around another way down by the Yamuna. And when Lokanath Goswami finished all his bathing activities down there and came back, Narottam Das Thakur would then come out there and clean up down there, even clean up the stool and etc. And this was going on, this went on for 1 year. For 1 year. So, after a year or so, Lokanath Goswami was really wondering, who is doing this? Every day this is happening. Let me see. Let me find out. So one day he went off to the Yamuna, but then he came back quickly and to see who was doing it. And sure enough, he saw it. It was Narottam Das Thakur. So then he came out and stopped him and asked him, why are you doing this? You shouldn't be doing this. And Narottam just threw himself at Lokanath Goswami's feet and begged him that I have already accepted you before as my spiritual master, and I'm just going to carry on doing this for the rest of my life, whether you accept me or not. So please be merciful and accept me. And Lokanath Goswami accepted him. So in that sense, Srila Narottam Das Thakur was extremely faithful 1 year, and he was ready to go on for the rest of his life. And he's written one nice song, actually, Narottam Das Thakur. Of course, he's particularly well known for his songs we sing every day, Guru Vandana, Sri Guru Charana Padma. We sing every day, Kevala Bhakati Sadma Bando Mui Savatan Mate. Savatan. You must be careful. You must be cautious. Watch out. There's no other way to achieve success in Krishna consciousness without taking shelter of the lotus feet of the spiritual master. So Narottam Das Thakur also wrote one other song about Lokanath Goswami, in which he's explaining these things that if you're not merciful to me, I actually can't live. And he means it. It's not just some colorful little poetic expression. He actually feels like that. So we also, the ladies, of course, obviously this is particularly in one sense for the ladies, but in another sense it applies to all of us. We must all cultivate faithfulness to Guru, Gauranga, Radha Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, to ISKCON, to the devotees. We need to do that. That is a truly essential characteristic, feature of character for all devotees. Of course, as we noted, it is Kali Yuga. Everyone sitting here knows it is not easy. Actually, sometimes it is extremely difficult. But still we must do it, even though it's Kali Yuga. By the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, by the mercy of the Pachatattva, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, these things are possible. There's a very nice little incident in Mahabharata. Some of you may have seen it or read of it. Bhima was waiting outside in the palace, in one of the rooms, outside of the main throne room of Maharaj Yudhisthira. Maharaj Yudhisthira was in there on the throne. It was the hour of the day when anyone could come to the king and present anything, and the king would deal with it. So Yudhisthira was waiting for people, and Bhima was outside in the entrance way, in the next room. One man came and said to Bhima, "I have to see Yudhisthira. I got a big problem. I can't figure it out." Bhima said, "Oh, what's the problem?" Man said, "I've got a vegetable garden, and for security purposes, I built a wall around it. But now the wall is moving, coming in on the vegetable garden. And the wall is taking the vegetables. And I can't figure it out. How can a wall do that?" And Bhima said, "Sure, I don't know. Go ask Yudhisthira." So the man went in to see Yudhisthira. Then, just like that, another man came and said, "Oh, big problem." Said, "I've got this well. I took some water out, bucket of water, and I poured the water into 5 smaller containers. But then, for some reason, I poured the water back from the 5 containers into the bucket. There was less water in the bucket. I poured all the water into the 5 containers and all the water out of them back into the bucket. There's less water. What's going on?" And Bhima said, "Shoot, I don't know. Go ask Yudhisthira." Then another man came and he said, "Wow, I've got a problem. What a problem. I have an elephant. And we were walking along. We walked through a wall. The elephant also. There's a hole in the wall. We walked through the wall. But the tail of the elephant got stuck in the hole. I can't understand it. What's going on?" So Bhima said, "Sure, I can't understand either. Go ask Yudhisthira. He's good with these types of problems." And then a fourth man came and said, "Wow, you won't believe what happened. I just can't understand it. There was a mountain over there, just a little way away. Big pile of rocks. These like boulders and rocks all piled up a mountain. And no vegetation. Just one little vine, small vine sticking out. And I pulled the vine. The whole mountain collapsed. The whole thing collapsed, finished. No mountain left. What's going on?" And Bhima said, "You beat me. I can't figure it out. Go ask Yudhisthira." So that fourth man went. And Bhima was waiting to hear from the men when they came out what solutions Yudhisthira had given, but none of them came out. So then he thought, "Hey, I'm curious here. I'm going to go in and find out for myself." So he went in. Yudhisthira's just sitting there on his own. And Bhima said, "So, what happened with those 4 men? What did you tell them?" And Yudhisthira said, "4 men? What 4 men? Nobody came to see me so far. I'm just sitting here on my own. Tell me about these 4 men." So Bhima said, "Yeah, well, first man, vegetable garden with wall about it, the wall is moving in and eating the vegetables." And Yudhisthira sat up, said, "Really? Tell me more." Second man, he had this bucket of water, poured it into the 5 cups, poured it back, there was less water. Yudhisthira sat up even more. "Really? Tell me more." Third man, he's got an elephant, went through a hole in the wall with the elephant, The elephant's tail got stuck in the hole. Yudhisthira sat up even more and said, get those men, find them, catch them, lock them up. Bhima's now totally bewildered. He said, what is going on here? Please tell me. And Yudhisthira said, they are personifications of Kali Yuga. But it is not Kali Yuga yet. It's still Dwapara Yuga. So catch them, lock them up. Don't let them loose now. So then he explained, the man with the encroaching wall, he represents the leaders, the governments. They're meant to protect the people from the thieves, but they become the biggest thieves. And then the bucket of water poured into the five cups, but then you get less back. That is like children in Kali Yuga. The parents put so much effort into them. And then when the children grow up, they just go their own ways and they don't reciprocate and give some proper reciprocation to their parents. And then the third man, yes, the elephant, he goes through the hole in the wall, has to be a big hole, but his tail gets caught. Yudhisthira said, in Kali Yuga, all the big government people, business people, all these people, they're big crooks. But because they're so powerful, they can get away with it. And some little man does some little crime, some little fraud or something, he gets caught. And then there's big story in the newspaper. Fraudster is caught. So, and then Yudhisthira said, but what about the fourth? Did I get it wrong? Anyway, as I understand it, Yudhisthira said, what about the fourth man and the mountain, and he just pulled the creeper? I mean, Bhima asked Yudhisthira, what about him? And Yudhisthira said, yes, that's very good. He's showing that in Kali Yuga, even though it's a mountain of fault, just with one little thing, just chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the whole mountain of fault just collapses. So Bhima was very satisfied with that. And I think on this note, we will just finish. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.